I passed John Bailey, who was preaching on this passage this morning. Both sermons have been given different titles. This morning it was Hope for Decaying Bodies, and we are now looking at same passage, but under the title Hope for Suffering People. So he suggested that I'm suffering, but he's decaying. We live in a world that suffers. You and I share in that suffering. Those around us suffer. Don't know about you, but I like to think of myself as a young man. I hope and intend to do so as long as I possibly can, at least until 60. But you may have heard recently that the age in which you are technically old in America now has been risen to 80. You're old age when you're over 80, so take great heart. But at the age of 26, I was reminded, rather rudely, I think, that this body of mine is not going to last forever. I'd broken an arm. It was the third time I'd broken an arm, once at 12 and once at 15, so I was quite used to this. And I was receiving physio to try and get movement back into my hand. And it was taking a little bit longer than I expected. And the nurse said to me, "Well, you're not as young as you used to be." I thought, I'm 26, how can you say that? But the fact of the matter is, my body was starting to decay. I don't know what age cells stop regenerating, but it's fairly young, 18 or 19, I think, cells start to, not to regenerate, but to decay. And I'm still pained by that injury today. When Carmen and I are playing with Caleb and Scarlett on the floor, we often wince when we get up, when we realise we've been kneeling down too long. And we both are noticing that our parents are changing as they age, somewhat distressingly at times. But jobs that I remember my father tackling with great energy for many hours, he can now not manage half as much as he used to. And then we think of others who struggle with serious illnesses like cancer. We watch children suffer from starvation in the third world. Suffering is maybe one of the few experiences that all mankind shares, both rich and poor, young and old, ruler and ruled, even male and female, although perhaps the degree to which each sex suffers is often an object of some discussion. So let me ask you, how are you feeling today? A response of fine, thank you, is what I would expect, but is probably far from the truth. See, Paul, in this passage, turn again, make sure you have page 154, Romans 8, in front of you, acknowledges that our earthly bodies groan. It's biblical to groan about your aches and pains. So next time your wife moans at you for moaning about your dodgy leg, you say, no, it's biblical to groan. And in many ways, that is encouraging. As Christians, we are not free from aches and pains. We are not free from suffering. We're not free from the power of death to our bodies. It's an important message to understand, and in fact, every saint who has been faithful to God, who has gone before us, has suffered exactly the same. Not one of them has been delivered totally from the suffering of their body. Their bodies have broken down, never to be repaired. Look at verse 23 with me. "We who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly." He who has the Spirit is a Christian. We know that from verse 9. And yet we groan inwardly. The Living Bible amplifies it to say, we groan to be released from pain and suffering. When we become a Christian and follow Christ, we are saved from eternal separation from God, but not saved from suffering on earth. Though we have come into this glorious relationship with God, there is still pain and suffering. There is still struggle. There is still the process of death to be faced. So we groan. but. One of the most wonderful words of the Bible, always worth taking note when you see a but. But for us, because of the risen Lord, we have a real hope. Look at verse 23 again. We groan inwardly, but while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And verse 24 says, this is hope. This is hope. What do you hope for in life? Sitting there, you might be hoping that somebody set the oven timer because you're hoping for some lunch. You might well be sitting there hoping that I keep to my allotted time. Hope, the word hope, is vastly underestimated in the world today. It's been relegated to third division and is defined more as a wish. But the word biblically, and in this passage, is associated with eagerly expecting or longing. So let me ask you again, what do you long for? What are you expecting in your life? Whether or not, and this is the sobering thought, you know and can define what that is, you can be sure that your life is lived in reflection of that longing and that expectation. Those who hope and trust in financial gain, who believe that money can ultimately save them from a life of suffering and hardship, will make decisions based on that hope. Yet we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now you may be confused by that term, adoption as sons, because a few weeks ago, if you look back at verse 15, we said we had received a spirit of sonship, that the Spirit testifies that with our spirit that we are children of God. We've already been adopted into God's family, and yet we come to verse 23 and we're still longing for adoption. I think Paul's point here is that though we are not completely saved from suffering and pain and the process of life, of death in this life, we do hope with expectation for new bodies, which will be given when our salvation is completed in full. Our spirits and souls have been redeemed. Our souls have been granted eternal life if we trust in Christ. We are justified, so we can call God our Father. But you may well be pleased to know, God isn't finished with us yet. And our souls are led by the Spirit into deeper experience and deeper Christ-likeness. And we are also left waiting for the redemption of our bodies, for our bodies to become eternal. We have received the fruit of the Spirit, His presence in our life, and that presence in our life imparts comfort to us, guidance, power, special gifts to help us in this life in which we suffer. But He is also a guarantee for that which is yet to come. Paul puts it very clearly to the Corinthian church as well. He says in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, "While we live in this body, we have burdens and we groan. We do not want to be naked, but we want to be clothed with our heavenly home. We long for our heavenly bodies. Then this body that dies will be fully covered with life. This is what God made us for. And He has given us the Spirit to be a guarantee for this new life." The NRSV puts it wonderfully, "So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." This is tremendous and heady stuff for the apostle. He talks of this hope of new life for our bodies in his first letter to the Corinthians as well. And he comes to this amazing climax that I would love to read for you now. Listen to this. "When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be filled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I read it with somewhat enthusiasm because it is a wonderful passage. And I was, you may have noticed that Independence Day, the film, was on this week. If you don't know what Independence Day is, aliens come to the Earth and the Americans save the day, basically. And Will Smith and his buddies. And there's a speech by the president in that film. And it's one of those speeches where you end up, even though you can't help yourself, sort of, God bless America kind of thing. But he gets really excited about what it is that their independence can be achieved. Well, let me tell you, our Independence Day from these earthly bodies will be a marvellous day when we all will say, praise be to God. When death is swallowed up in victory. What a phrase that is. It's wonderful. And English or no, you will see me on that day dancing a jig. And what the best thing is, because I will have a new body, there's a half a chance that it might be a half-decent jig. Many of my friends say it's dangerous to be with me on a dance floor. This is our hope, our very real hope, physical, eternal life to come. Don't let anyone deceive you into thinking that this life to come is just spiritual, floating in the clouds with harps. Some theologians claim that Jesus' resurrection was a spiritual event, but there seems to be a certain waftiness associated with this thinking. There was nothing wafty about the risen Lord Jesus, nor shall there be anything wafty about our new life. We are not freed by suffering, by being free from the body, but shall be given a body that is free from decay, free from sickness, free from pain. When we look back at this life, we will probably think that this life was wafty and insubstantial. C.S. Lewis suggests in one of his books that the risen Christ could pass through doors, not because he was ghost-like and otherworldly, and so the laws of this world do not apply, but that he was more substantial than the doors. That Christ passed through the door because it was like us passing through water. We pass through water because we are more solid than water. And yet Christ passed through doors because he was more solid than those doors. The hope of eternity with Christ isn't less than what we know now, but will be more, so much more. John says, what we will be has not been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him. And we wait eagerly for this, to be able to worship with bodies that are free from the blight of sin, free from suffering, free from pain, sickness, and weakness, the plague of mankind. We long to run and not grow weary. We long to walk and not faint. Indeed, we long to fly like eagles. I want you to take a 5-minute break today and wonder and marvel and imagine at what God has in store for us. Why? Because this hope helps us to persevere. Helps us to persevere in times of suffering. It helps us to persevere in our pursuit of holiness. It helps us to persevere in our witness. Because we know what our future is, but we also know what the future is of our friends and our family, unless they trust in Christ. And this hope is why we praise and worship him with all our hearts. For Christ has accomplished this through his death on the cross. Oh, that God would deepen our faith in this certainty of life to come. So two things that we're going to take away, hopefully, from the verses today. Firstly, we can be honest about our struggles in this life. Our emotional struggles, our spiritual struggles, our physical struggles. We can be honest to God and we can be honest to each other. If we are looking to Jesus in trust as our Saviour, we are in the process of being saved. This means that we're not there yet. We live in the now and not yet of the kingdom. And yet the King marvellously ministers to us in our groaning. So when we have the opportunity to come for prayer, we can come with expectant hearts, knowing that the King listens and cares about our groaning. And secondly, we can be confident and live in the light of our hope of new life. New bodies are on the way. Salvation will be fully accomplished and completed in us by Christ. If we are looking to Jesus in trust as our Saviour, we can be confident that we will be saved. You see, you may ask for healing today and not receive a yes, here you are. That was the apostle's experience. He complained about his thorn in the flesh that he was not delivered from. You may also, wonderfully, for your encouragement and for your growth in your relationship with God, be healed physically today or emotionally. Or God might start a process of healing. But you can be sure that certainly physically, you will fall ill again in the future. But there is coming a time when you will have a new and immortal body. Our hope in what is to come needs to be deepened so that our witness and pursuit of God's way in our lives may be more keen day by day. See, Christ endured the cross because of the joy that was beyond the cross. We have a glorious joy now and even more so to come. And that hope can help us persevere and endure and to wait not only eagerly, but wait patiently. As we come for prayer today, let us, along with the Apostle Paul, pray for those things that are concerning us, that are weighing us down. But let us also pray for healing of our eyes, of our hearts, that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us. Let's just take a moment of quiet before we close. Lord, we praise you that you know our groanings. And we praise you even more that you have a glorious future for us because of Christ. Amen.